I wanna be in your world, know who you are, listen to every beat of your heart, look in your eyes, steal an embrace, feel the touch of your lips when you whisper my name. If I had a kingdom in a land far away, I'd make you my queen, sharing your dream, honor and love you for the rest of your life. To be in your world. It was so right, it was so wrong. Almost at the same time, the pain and ache a heart can take, no one really knows. And when the memories cling, oh, and keep you there, till you no longer care, and you can let go now. Here comes love, just when I don't expect it. There goes my heart, I thought I had it well protected. Never saw it come, now it's got me running. Here comes love, there goes my heart. You'd think by now I'd be suspicious, recognize it right away, but like the fool who lives on wishes, I'm living for today. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And joining us right now is someone who it's very timely to have on. We had him on before. You know, Lee Greenwood is one of the award-winning singers and songwriters who has many, many hits to his name, but the one that we play all the time here is God Bless the USA, which has now become kind of associated as an unofficial theme song of the September 11th devastation we had 10 years ago. And interestingly enough, I have been hosting the parade here in Stoughton for many, many years, July 4th parade, and instead of playing the national anthem, I have been playing God Bless the USA, having people doff their caps and using it kind of like a national anthem, because I think it's become the new national anthem for the country.
That's pretty amazing to me. I mean, I'm gratified that something I did, you know, serves the United States in some way, but I walked out of the studio when we recorded that, and it was curious because I had about 5 or 6 albums that were doing very well at the country charts, and even some crossover to pop at the time. So I was on the country label in Nashville at MCA, and my producer and I talked about the release of that song, what I wrote in 1983, and we said, this may not be a good idea for your career, but it's something you really believe in. We can do that and then move on, you know, to the songs that have made you popular on radio. But in the long run, and although I believe it peaked in 1984, like around number 11 or something on the country charts, and then it got really popular with the National Guard in Tennessee because we did a lot of USO tours. And, of course, during that year, the reelection campaign of Ronald Reagan. And so there was a lot of things that were going on. It was a highly charged political atmosphere. And I was resistant to letting it be a political weapon for anyone. I am a conservative Christian, and Ronald Reagan was my president. But it was only because they used the song at the Republican convention as a sort of like a walk-on. Mm-hmm. But it was more aimed at the military and the unification of the United States. And, of course, during those years leading up to where we are now, 10 years after 9/11, the Gulf War, it was used as a military anthem. General Schwarzkopf was very forthcoming about that. We played your song, and then we went to war. Of course, after Katrina, which was a national disaster, not just the Southeast and not just, you know, in the Mississippi, Louisiana area, but with the almost possible loss of New Orleans as a city, God Bless USA served as a way to have hope and spirit. And then after 9/11, it was basically unification, and that's what I intended it for when I wrote it in 1983.
Well, it's interesting that it's come that long and has become so important for the people in this country that rally around that song. What are your recollections of 9/11 now? What were you doing that day, and how did you find out about it, and how do you feel that it affected this country?
Well, let me tell you what I was doing on 9/10. I was actually on an airplane flying to Los Angeles from my home in Nashville, where I was meeting with my agency and record company about some up-and-coming things that we had on the plate. And sitting next to me, oddly enough, on the plane was a young lady whose father was currently in the space station. He was commander of the space station, and he was flying over the world. And she said, "Would you autograph a picture for my father?" I said, "Absolutely." So I did that, not knowing that the next day, 9/11, and of course I was awoken, and I was awakened in Los Angeles with my wife's phone call, and to see the second plane hit the second tower, as did the commander of the space shuttle watch the second tower fall as they were flying over the earth. So it was like, it was very personal. I was frustrated that I couldn't leave Los Angeles because I couldn't get to my home. I couldn't rent a car, get on a train, plane, bus, nothing. I even thought about buying a car and just go ahead and drive in the 2 days back to Nashville. Mm. I said, "Well, let me just ride it out and stay here and see what I can do by phone and internet or whatever." And we called New York, and they were quick to mobilize, thanks to Mayor Giuliani, and I believe the whole nation was struck. You know, we were all hurt and angry. But what I thought about with 9/12 was that 9/12/01, we were unified as a country. And then when President Bush stood on the Trade Towers rubble and said, you know, "We will find you wherever you are, and if any nation harbors you, we will go after them as well," which led us, of course, to Afghanistan, Iraq, and the places we are in the Middle East to root out the terrorists. And we've been successful. But there's an uneasiness to me about it and to my family because it's kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're anticipating what's going to happen next. I've been a little bit busy, too, because I have a new book that I've been writing for about a year. Hope to have it out in October. It's called Does God Still Bless the USA? And the first chapter is I'm not over 9/11 yet. So we're kind of just stirring it up a little bit to make sure people are still aware and still unified, hopefully, and rallying around our flag.
Well, it's unfortunate, but the country's not unified right now. In fact, I haven't seen such political discourse and vitriolic talk for many, many decades. And it looks like, from the government down, they're trying to foster class wars and all kinds of divisive things that are happening in the country,
yeah,
which are not delightful.
Yep.
Yeah. But talking about delightful, let's change the subject for a minute, because you have gone in another direction with a new CD as well. We'll have you on when the book comes out as well.
Terrific.
But you have a brand new CD out. It's called I Want to Be in Your World, and I really like it.
Well, thank you. I've been working on that for a while. Actually, the three songs that I wrote on the CD traverse over like two decades. Here Comes Love, There Goes My Heart kind of is like a, I hate to put a pigeonhole on it, but if you like Bonnie Raitt and you like that kind of R&B and jazz Well, that's kind of where it is. Saxophone is my favorite instrument, and I opened the song with this, like, obbligato thing that I played, and it's really cool, and I really like it. It's kind of a laid-back approach where people who may know me in country music may recognize my voice, but they'll go, I didn't know he sang that kind of stuff. I also wrote Wounded Heart on the CD, and that was almost 20 years ago I wrote that, which is when I was really a fan of the Commodores and Lionel Richie. That was where my head was at when I wrote that song. So I brought it forward and re-recorded it, and it's really a good song with a lot of heart.
Well, you actually beat me to it, because the what I was going to say is that this is a little bit different than some of the stuff you've been recording in the past that I've listened to.
Yeah, you'll find some of the things on this CD that are reminiscent of my years at MCA and Capitol, Dancing with No Music Playing, and That's How I Remember You. Those are pretty much country songs. I did one rocker, Got a Little Thing for Me, which was pretty much out of context in my country music career, because my producer and I always agreed that people wanted the softness out of my voice and not, you know, the excitement, not the rocker kind of songs that Jason Aldean might be doing or Brooks and Dunn. But I had to include one just to say, okay, here's the spectrum. Now, I hope you like some of these things. One that stands out, I Can Let Go Now, or it might be called You Can Let Go Now. It was written by Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins. And Michael, of course, I'm a huge fan of his years with the Doobies, and he lives in Franklin, Tennessee, right where I live. So we gave him a call and asked him if he would come in and play piano on the song that he wrote and sang. He said, absolutely. So he came in, and I was a little intimidated at first because I'm like a chameleon, and so he's playing piano, and I'm just standing there singing, and I'm trying not to go, you know, you don't know me, I'm just singing like that everything that he's known for. Mm-hmm. So but I think it came out very well, and I got enough of Lee Greenwood in it, so I didn't have to sound like Michael McDonald.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot, and I noticed that he was on the piano there. I thought that was kind of cool. I also noticed it says that you played the sax on the Here Comes Love, There Goes My Heart.
It was my main instrument and still is. I do play keyboards as well during my stage show, but it's kind of a hidden fact. I guess like Gary Sinise playing bass, or, you know, I'm one of those guys that I guess when I came to Nashville, I sort of hid the fact that I was a sax player so I could be accepted in the country music community. But it is my main instrument, and I was a jazz player when I went to Vegas some 30 years ago.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that most people associate the sax with jazz, not country music.
And there were some great sax players here, Boots Randolph, who is gone now. I love the horn, and it's an expressive instrument for me. My heart and soul pours through my saxophone, even more than my voice.
Now, of the seven songs, three of them you wrote on this EP. Now, do you like to play other people's music more, or do you really like to write your own stuff and do your own stuff?
That's kind of a mix of... In an answer, I love to sing my own things, but I like freshness. And so, oddly enough, when I write a song, I really don't commit it to memory, because I sort of put it aside for a while, and then I'll pull it out and sing it when we go into the studio, so I can, like, well, this is a new song. Regardless that I wrote it, it happens to be a new song for me because it's fresh, and I don't like to live with it too long. But it's just a great song. I mean, I love singing it, and so I appreciate and admire the writers who have contributed to my career over the past 30 years.
Now, I noticed that you're involved with every aspect of this thing. You co-produced some of the songs. You even were part of the artwork direction and design team. So you like a hands-on approach to your stuff.
Yeah, I do, and I think when I was at MCA, along with Reba McEntire and George Strait and Barbara Mandrell and the Oak Ridge Boys, we were asked to turn out two albums a year. That's at least 10 songs on each album. That was sort of the standard. And we might choose 30 songs to go in the studio with and hone it down to 10. I really couldn't be involved in too much of that because I was touring 300 days a year on the road. So we trusted the art director and the producer and the engineer and the mixer and the mastering pretty much to the company's design. But in this day and age where I'm a free agent, if you will, Tate Publishing is producing this for me, but I have, like you see, two producers on there, and I co-produced everything so I could have a handle on the vocals and make sure that all the tweaks were something I liked.
Has there been any consideration of doing your own label?
We thought about that. actually, my hands are really full right now with my two teenagers, and I just, I don't know that I could open up a new business. We were in the publishing business for a while, but I have a 16-year-old Dalton and a 13-year-old Parker, and they just require an awful lot of my time. My wife and I spend time together as well. Kim, who has her own business, she's a pageant director in the states of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Georgia. So I just don't have the time for it right now.
Either of your children musically inclined?
Well, both are singers, and both have played musical instruments, but I don't believe they have the passion for it. They have the mechanical talent, but whether or not they'll pursue it, I kind of doubt it. I know my 13-year-old, when I ask him a question, he usually sings me the answer, so I know he's got it in his heart.
Yeah, I have two teenagers myself, and, you know, it's usually I get back as whatever.
Well, yeah, it's the grunt and point stage. It's 13, 14, 15, 16. But our 16-year-old's starting to come out of it because we just gave him the car keys. So at that point, he's like, okay, I'll start talking to you now.
Yeah, well, actually, my son is now in college, so he's actually grown up quite a bit. Yeah. It's a little different talking to him. My daughter's a senior in high school, so you know, she'll be coming around the mountain soon, too. But now, so neither of one of them do you think are going to pursue a career in music. What do they think of your music? Do they actually enjoy it, or do they not admit it?
I'll give you an example. My older boy studies, well, he's a junior in high school, and he's taking pre-calculus and French 5, and, you know, he's an honor student at all AP tracks, so I'm a little concerned when he does his homework. He'll spend like 2.5 hours, and then he runs to the 360 and starts playing video games. So when he's sitting there doing his homework, he's got his earphones on, and I'm just, you know, okay, let me listen to what you listen to. Is it a rap song? Is it Usher? You know, what is it? And surprisingly enough, it's like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, even some of Dad's music. And I'm like, well, son, how could I love you anymore? You know. So they admire my music and appreciate it. But some of the statements they've made for my new book in the family chapter are really astounding. I would never expect that they would say, very few kids know who my dad is. But when I mention it to the teachers, you know, they all know you. Mm-hmm. And they're sometimes a little bit not embarrassed, but they don't like to live within the shadow of that. And we diffuse my career around here all I can. I mean, we're carpool mom and dad, and Kim and I, you know, work together as parents like everybody else does, just trying to raise our kids.
So you've been married a long time to the same woman. Unusual in the business.
19 years. Yeah. Kim and I are very romantic. Our kids even go, stop kissing, would you please, you know. So we're thrilled, and I am just thrilled that I have such a beautiful woman as my wife.
Well, and she's a pageant director.
Yes, she's with the Miss USA system.
Wow.
Miss Universe is actually this week coming up.
Was she in pageants herself when she was younger?
She was Miss Tennessee in 1989 while in college.
Wow. So you got yourself a beauty queen there, huh?
Oh, absolutely. She's a trophy winner, if you will.
Well, Lee Greenwood will be joining us again sometime in the fall when his book comes out. But right now, you should go out and get the CD, I Want to Be in Your World. It's available all over the place, of course, from Tate Publishing and Tate Music Group. And the book will be coming out shortly. And, of course, the 10th anniversary of September 11th. Listen to God Bless the USA and do just that. Thank you so much for coming on, Lee.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Look forward to talking to you next time.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.